You are listening to the San Antonio Zen Center Dharma Talks. The San Antonio Zen Center is supported solely by donation, so that everyone can participate in our offerings and programs, regardless of income. If you are able, please consider making a donation to SAZC through the donation button on our site, sanantoniozen.org, or by visiting paypal.me/sanantoniozen. Thank you for your practice and enjoy the talk.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for requesting that I do a Dharma talk. It's so helpful for my practice. Really motivates me to study. And thank all of you for being here to listen and to save all beings, you know, including ourselves, is what this is about. A friend of mine is a Zen priest in Dashamura Roshi's lineage, and we were having a casual conversation one day, and he said, "Rick, what do you think the worst thing is? Greed, hate, or delusion?" And I said, "I think delusion is the worst, because you wouldn't have greed and hatred without it." And he didn't argue with me, so. So I thought I would talk about delusion. I have a favorite poem on delusion. And you guys may have heard it before, because I read it here before. I think it was here. It might have been online. It's called Heisenberg. Heisenberg. "We interfere with what we know by knowing it. We interfere with what we do by doing it. We interfere with what we love by loving it. I guess you could say we're the causes of our own loneliness. We interfere with what we watch by watching it. We interfere with what we write by writing it. We interfere with what we think by thinking it. We interfere with where we go by going there. We are like Midas and Medusa. We interfere with life by living it. In fact, one definition of perfection is simply the way things are when we are not around. Or it might have been so if I hadn't said that." One question, though, is this all actually true? We interfere with what we ask by asking it. If there is a God, we will surely ruin him by believing in him. And yet we must exist, correct? Don't answer that. You, who remain you, only by your absence. So I think that gets at what is meant by delusion in our tradition. I recently listened to a book about the brain. It's called 7.5 Lessons About the Brain. And the half lesson is that the brain evolved not to think or to feel, but to budget our energy so we can survive. And so in doing so, it makes up ideas and concepts. We turn those into language and then mistake it for reality. So by virtue of the fact that we're human, we're deluded by virtue of the fact that we use symbols for reality. We can't help but be out of touch with it. And then the way the brain does this partially is, you know, we have a sensation that we don't like so much, and then we associate it with something and create a narrative. So I do this some mornings. I notice my mind doing this. And it's not like I can help it. It just happens. It's like breathing or something. I wake up in the morning and I have a feeling. It's a sensation, usually somewhere here. It's kind of unpleasant. And then my mind will go out in search of what it needs to be concerned about, because it thinks that this is very similar to anxiety or dread or something like that. Now, what the book points out is, it's not necessarily that dread and anxiety are labels we have on the sensation. It could be that you're dehydrated. Or, so in my case, a lot of times I have strange dreams. I mean, this is not lucid dreaming. This is nothing looks real at all in my dreams. And sometimes it causes some sensations, and I'll wake up and my mind attempts to solve the problem. So this part of our delusions, we can't help but have this sort of thing. I've also been reading the The Wholehearted Way, a translation of Ihe Dogen's Bindawa, with a commentary by Kosho Gyamaroshi. And most of what I have here that I'll share with you is from the introduction by Gyamaroshi's student, Okumara Roshi. And it's really rich. I'm kind of enjoying it. Let's see, where do I want to read first? I don't know, a lot of sequels. So it says here, let me get to this other thing. Our life is part of the life is part of the universe, and yet we think that our life is our own personal belonging. We create our own personal world through our distractions, our discrimination, our value judgments, and definitions. We analyze and put a name or a label on it, and put it into categories that make it easy to understand, to make it easy to deal with. That is the human-made world. So again, this goes back to the 7.5 lessons, because our brain automatically does this to be more parsimonious with how we expend energy. It takes a lot of energy for mental activity. The brain takes like 25% of our energy, and it's regulating homeostasis. And it creates these shortcuts that I will call delusion. I'm going to say that's delusion. Our shortcuts are delusional. They're symbols for reality to help us do that, to help us survive. So, yeah. There's a kind of separation. Although it, our life, is one, we think there is separation. I am not you. You are not me. This is not human beings. This is not a sheet of paper. This is how we create the world, separate things, and it makes them easy to handle. because we label them and we have these symbols for them, but it's not reality. And of course, yet our life, including our delusions and our discriminations, is a kind of manifestation of reality. But even though it is the manifestation of reality, we are deluded. In other words, reality contains the fact that human beings are deluded. So our practice is not to eliminate our delusion, but to see or to become aware of the fact that we are deluded. Just become aware of it and let go of it. Do not be pulled by the delusions. Then we really become with Buddha, or the wondrous Dharma. So this is our practice. Let's see. And he talks about the first sentence of the Bindawa. Now, the Bindawa, am I pronouncing that correctly? Thank you. My understanding is it's the first thing that Dogen wrote when he came back from China. And he wanted to get it down. Because he didn't have a place to teach at first. He wandered around for a little bit looking for a place. And so this is one of the first things he wrote after his enlightenment experience in China. So the first sentence of the Bindawa, Okamura Roshi says, is one of Dogen Zenji's most important statements. It reads, all Buddha Tathagatas together have been simply transmitting wondrous Dharma and actualizing Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, for which there is an unsurpassed, unfabricated, wondrous method. This wondrous Dharma, which is that Sanskrit word I just said.
Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi.
Thank you, sir. You've heard that before, huh? is that wondrous Dharma, which has been transmitted only from Buddha to Buddha without deviation. And its criterion is Zazen. That is the method to do this, to realize this. So our practice is not a kind of training for the sake of making an ignorant person smart, clever, and finally enlightened. Each action, each moment of sitting is arousing Bodhi mind, the mind that moves toward enlightenment, practice, awakening, and nirvana. Each moment is perfect, and yet within this perfect moment, we have a direction, the Bodhisattva vows. However innumerable all beings are, I vow to save them. However inexhaustible my delusions are, I vow to extinguish them. However immeasurable the Dharma teachings are, I vow to master them. However endless the Buddha's way is, I vow to follow it. So one of the things that came to my mind symbolically was being on the sea of delusion, that everywhere I look, because of the conditioning and past karma, in a boat, and the Bodhisattva vows being the rudder and the life raft. And of course, I started out this thing by saying, by virtue of the fact that we symbolize reality, we're delusional. And Bodhisattva vows are language, they're symbols. So it's a little bit like using delusion to cut through delusion. It's almost like a vaccine kind of, you know. You lose, but if we're going to be delusional, why not bias it toward an activity that reduces our suffering. You know? What else did I want to read you guys? It's pretty much repeating the same thing. So he also talks about myoho. You familiar with that term? Myoho? Myoho. Myoho is an interesting word. Buddha Tathagatas are transmitting myoho, the wondrous Dharma. This myoho has many meanings. Something strange. Something curious. Also something we cannot grasp with the intellect. It also means excellent, wonderful, something that human beings cannot create. It is beyond anything artificial. We cannot grasp it. It also means strange for us because we do not understand it. And also, since we cannot create it, we cannot make it our own by our own effort. It is already there, already given. All we can do is say, excellent, wonderful. It is very precious. We cannot create it. We cannot change it or possess it. It is already full of this universe, and we are already given it. It is our life. As diluted as it is. I have the definition of neurosis here for a reason. I'll read it to you. A relatively mild mental illness that is not caused by organic disease. And I'll say, unless you consider being born an organic disease, involving symptoms of stress, depression, anxiety, obsessive behavior, and hypochondria, but not a radical loss of touch with reality. And you know, that reality is the one that we all kind of agree upon, I think is what they mean by that. So does that describe anybody you guys know? So neurosis is a human condition, and a lot of it, you can see how our mistaking the symbols of reality for reality can bring about neurosis. And of course, neurosis is a term for this thing that we can spiral into infinity there. So let's see. If there's anything else. So it's beyond those distinctions. I think, I don't know if I read this before, the angles we see the world from are different. The supreme awareness is to see that we cannot see the whole world, to understand that we are deluded and limited. This means we have to let go of our viewpoints. That means we sit on the zafu. We sit in the correct posture and breathe quietly and let go of thought. Just do zazen. In our sitting, we are freed from our limited limitations by letting go of our limited views. This is the supreme awareness. And Okamura Roshi goes on to say, I do not think supreme awareness means something we can attain, something we can achieve. But when we let go of our limited view, it is there before and beyond our perception or thought that I am aware. Just let go of everything, memory or consciousness or whatever. Only when we are actually doing this are we free from the limitations of our individuality, which is actually delusional as well. Our practice of Zazen itself is the wondrous Dharma. And this is what has been transmitted through Buddhas and ancestors. I feel like I'm being repetitive, but I guess that's okay. Because, you know, I've read this introduction a couple of times. It's the kind of thing I need to do, you know, to get some sense of it. So I wanted to, there was a couple of things I ran across that seemed to go with this. And one of them is from the Dhammapada, and it's supposed to be a quote from Buddha. The footnote says there's some question about it, but I think it doesn't matter. You know, it's symbols for reality, which is delusional. So, house builder, you are seen. You will not build a house again. All the rafters are broken, the ridgepole destroyed, the mind gone to the unconstructed has reached the end of craving, if only for the moment. And so I think what Buddha was talking about, the Buddha in my imagination, is that he finally saw how the mind makes up a person that's separate from everything. And in seeing that, as we see that, as we let go of these things, as we experience it, experience, I think, is a better word. It's easier to let go of who we think we are. And the other thing about neurosis, I know I'm jumping around, but I've heard it said by psychologists that the more rigid the ego is, the more rigid the sense of self we have is, the more intense the neurosis is. So this way is a way of dealing with it, a way of living. Anyway, I wanted to end with this. For a while, when we chant the rogue chant, it reminds me of a poem by Rumi. So the rogue chant, great robe of liberation, field far beyond form and emptiness, wearing the Tathagata's teaching, saving all beings. Us too. Rumi, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, could be that great field of liberation. I'll meet you there. When the self actualizing the self lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make sense. So thank you very much for listening and motivating me to do this. Should we entertain questions and comments? Please.